Thank you for listening to this episode of Courtside Indiana podcast. Please hit the subscribe or add button on your podcast app to get them delivered straight to your phone, tablet, or desktop. As always, we'd appreciate a rating and review, and you can reach us directly on our Courtside Indiana Twitter at CourtsideIND. Welcome to Courtside Indiana podcast. I am Jim Reimers. Just three of us tonight. Zach is dealing with daylight savings time with his putting his kids to bed, right? Dominique, how are you doing with that?
Oh, we got them down early. We had to warm them out all day, and they were tired.
Yeah, good to Patrick. Go. Patrick, no kids.
No, I'm all good here.
We're good. Yeah, I'm good here.
Except cheese sticks, right?
I got my snack. Ready to go. It's good. Carb-free tortillas and carb-free cheese. It's good. We got some regional games we could talk about this week. We're going to do a separate podcast talking about semi-states. So that'll come. I think we're going to record that Wednesday night. Patrick lucks out. IU doesn't have to play Wednesday night. So Kyler doesn't have to work. Kyler is doing IU duty today. Senior night, kind of hard for Kyler to give that one up. So hopefully Wednesday, Kyler will be able to join us, and we're going to go pretty deep into the semi-states. I don't know. We might pick every game. We may not talk in depth about every game, but we might just do a pick 'em for every game. Speaking of pick 'ems.
Oh, here we go. Jim won, right?
I won, but it was tight for everybody. I had 25 out of 32. Zach had 24. Dominique and Kyler had 23, and Patrick had 22.
Jeez, Patrick, what's going on?
First of all, none of us here are experts. We're just a bunch of old fools here picking high school ball games. But
I am a 1A expert. I got all eight of them right.
That was Zach.
And Zach, man. Wow.
No, Zach got six right.
Well, they're talking about this to get into the sectional. He got all of them right.
He got all 1A right? No.
Yeah, in the sectional. Or he got the most, or all of them.
He got the most, but he beat you by one. He didn't. No, he didn't. Yeah, 11.
Okay. Well, we talked about him last week as the 1A expert. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that's fair. I have taken the mantle.
Listen, I just picked all Christian schools because you know I know where I'm going after all this, so I'm rooting for all the Christian schools.
Kyler went belly up on the 1A. Rest of it was pretty even. We three of us got seven right in 3A. And those of us that got seven, the only ones we missed were Hammond Knoll.
Yeah, the region was kind of sleepwalking, right? Three out of four teams? East Chicago, Gary 21st, and Hammond Knoll, they all were kind of sleepwalking, apparently.
So does that answer our question? From the very beginning of the year?
They just got beat up so bad and beat up each other so bad that by the time regionals came around, they were all tired and depleted.
So we're saying Crown Point didn't get beat up? Is that what we're
saying? We're saying Crown Point is survived it, and they're moving on for their first regional since 98.
I thought that was an interesting point made during the Warsaw-Crown Point game. During the Fishers Kokomo game, was that Matt Moore? They did a shout out to Matt Moore because he was former coach of both schools, Kokomo and Fishers.
I didn't know he was at Kokomo.
Yeah, he was. Yep. And so they did a quick shout out to him before the game was over or before the game started.
So, is that ISC or?
No, that was the Kokomo. Broadcast.
Okay. Fast play, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
They didn't get the memo that Fishers existed before 2006. From 1968 to 2006, there was no Fishers. They kept saying this was Fishers' first sectional title and et cetera, and it just wasn't. I mean, that's not a huge thing, but they just kept saying, I was like, God, no, they used to be a school. They just, shut down and then started, you know, they became part of the consolidation, then reopened. But anyway, we've got a lot of games to, I guess, talk about. Maybe not a ton, but let's start with Zach. Or let's don't start with Zach because Zach's not here. Let's start with Dominique. You were in, where were you?
Newcastle.
That's right, you were home. That's right. It was sectionals, you were gone. All right, let's start
I
with
was
you.
home. What now? No, I
No,
was
I
at
meant
Newcastle.
the week before you were in the
Oh,
Caribbean or
I was in Cozumel, my section a
Mexico,
week.
yeah.
But yeah, I was at Newcastle.
So you saw three games live, right?
Two games.
But you went to Hammond, or you went up north, didn't you?
Yeah, I went north home, not to a game. I
Oh,
went home.
you
I
got
think we
home to
all
watch it. streamed and
We
watched
streamed
that one game.
the
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Warsaw Crown Point, yeah.
All
But
right,
yeah,
well,
I was at
you go ahead and
Newcastle.
start.
I started off struggling, man, unprepared. I forgot my chair with the back on it. They wouldn't let me go back to my car. I didn't have cash on me. Just a real mess. We sat with Kyler at the game, me and Kyler.
So Newcastle, no debit card at the concession stand?
No, they did have it then, but I was unprepared. Wi-Fi or service went out on me. It worked the first game when it was like 60% filled, and then when it was 120% filled, it no service. But no, the 1A game was a good one. Seton Catholic. Mason Harvey was impressive. He hit shots from the outside, scored in the paint. I like to see him score in the paint more, but he did get in foul trouble in the second quarter. But he was impressive. I'm not sure what type of offers he has or where he's going, but he's a nice 6'8" kid that can stretch the floor. He's pretty long as well. And then for Liberty Christian, their pressure really bothered Seton Catholic. They turned it over a lot. And then in the fourth quarter, Seton Catholic turned it over a lot, but they also missed unofficially at least 8 free throws or more in the fourth. They just could not hit anything from the free throw line. They kept turning it over. The three freshmen from Liberty Christian were really, really impressive. They all were, my stats are a little off because I had to get to the concession in the bathroom before it got nuts in there, which it definitely got nuts. It's definitely standing room only. So
Good.
my stats are a little off, but I know they each had 14 or more. I think Kendrick, let me pull it back up here. I don't want to mess these names up. Yeah,
I think you're
Kendrick
done.
Martin, I think he had 22. TJ English had, he had around 16, 17 or so, and I'm pretty sure Tywayne Fuller had around 14. But all three freshmen were really, really impressive. They had another kid, I believe he's a senior, Devon Kelly, who played really well. He was another one in double figures. But I was impressed with them. They look like a team who could give Canterbury some issues as well, in the semi-state potentially. Just a lot of pressure, athleticism. I think they. I forgot the final score, but they. It never really seemed like Seton in the second half was like could take over or take the lead. This seemed like LC or Liberty Christian kind of kept them at an arm's length away the whole time. I guess that was more of the fourth quarter, not the second half. Liberty ended up winning, and
They
I was
won.
pretty
They
impressed
won
with
by
them.
5, 77-72.
Okay.
Highest
Yeah,
scoring 1A game of the state.
I was pretty impressed with them.
Might be the highest scoring game in the state. I think it was the highest scoring game in the state yesterday. Just yesterday.
And
Yeah,
then you want to get
I
into
like the.
Kokomo or?
Well, I mean, I think just following up, Harvey, we don't have any reported offers for Harvey yet. It doesn't mean there aren't any, but
Right.
Zach's usually pretty on top of that stuff. Somebody just committed because Zach's still messing around doing that stuff right now. I didn't see who it was. Let's see. Let's get to.
Just for reference, real quick, it looks like if If Liberty Christian does go ahead and win the state, then they would be bumped up to 2A next year since they won a sectional last year.
They'd have to win state.
They'd have to win it, I believe, because that would be their. What do you get for state? Five?
You get
I
four.
don't. I don't
No,
know.
six. No, wait, four. I don't. Hold on a sec. I had that the other day. Did they say that during the broadcast?
No, I was just pulling that. I was thinking if you win a sectional one year in the state finals, the
No,
next.
you have to have 6 points.
Okay, so that would just be
So,
five.
correct. So you get one for sectional, two for regional, three for semi-state, and then four for state finals. You have to have six to move up. And then if you finish, then in the next year, we got, so just a quick retraction. Last week we talked about this. I got it wrong. You can move up multiple classes, so Blackhawk will be a 3A team next year.
Okay.
And then in finding out that I got it wrong, I just went ahead and reviewed the entire rule. You got to have six to move up, but then if you have two through five, you stay at that level. So no matter what, Blackhawk was going to stay at the 3A level, or I'm sorry, the 2A level. And but now they've eclipsed again 6 more points, so they are going to definitely move up to 3A next year by winning a regional because they won state last year. Yeah, they have to, you have to have six to get bumped up.
Potentially good news for Lures there, Dominique.
Yeah, it's true.
The freshmen at Liberty, I mean, those are, you know, we've talked about, we've gone on now as the season's wore on. At what point do they become freshmen? You know, at what point does it hit that they're freshmen? That's the thing.
Right.
You know, they made a big push when Mason Harvey was on the bench with fouls. And who knows, they may not. It's just, you know, in class basketball, 1A, they can be,
Right.
you know, you look at some of these games they got coming up, and until and unless, hold on, let me get to my sheets here.
They play Marquette next.
Until and unless they get to Evansville Christian, there's a good chance they're the three most talented players on the floor in any of these games. Talented. They may not be better than Malaga yet. They may not be better than Boer, that Greenwood Christian. They may not be better than Tucker Day at Canterbury, or is it Will Lewis? Who's their guard? Canterbury's good.
Devon
Devon Lewis.
Lewis or Devin Lewis, one of them.
They may not be better than those guys right now, but there is a chance they're the three most talented players on the floor at any given moment. And you know, they're going to be formidable as they get older. And you know, hopefully they stay there. You know, but those would be the kind of guys that you would see surfacing at Anderson, you know, Madison Heights and Highland, those three schools. I'd be curious to see which ones would go where based on where they live in the city. I don't know that. And of course, it's been so long since those other two schools have been open, they don't think that way, but you throw those guards in with Cooper Zachary, who obviously comes from an Anderson lineage. It's a lot of good guards coming into one class with Anderson ties.
I mean, you could throw in a kid like Jalen Harrelson too if you want to get that going. I mean,
Yeah, that's
he's got
true.
ties.
That's true. And
He was there a lot at the game. Newcastle for his brother. Jordan plays for Liberty Christian, and then obviously Fisher's played after, so stayed for that.
yeah.
Good day for him.
What was, well, we haven't gotten there yet. What were the two questions that we said we could talk about?
I think it was 4A
Oh,
stuff, right?
does the regional mean a little less being one game?
Oh, yeah.
And the other one was, oh, Crown Point. Okay, well, so we'll get to that stuff later. All right, good. I wanted to make sure I reference that or bookmark that. All right, go ahead and go to Fisher's and
Yeah.
I'm sure we all, well, I know I watched it, but I don't know
Right.
if Patrick got a chance to watch it or not. But go ahead and talk about Fishers and
Enlighten me,
Kokomo.
Dominique.
Yeah, let's go. Tell us what we
Well,
need to know.
the first game that they had, I was at that one as well and was shocked about, that we've talked about before, but Flory just was about playing at about 75%, it seemed like, with his motor and things like that. This game, he was definitely, better than that. I don't know what he ended with, but they were getting him the ball. I remember that first game. I don't know. He didn't really get a ton of touches in the paint. And this time it seemed like they were going to him, throwing it into the post a lot, and he was scoring it, blocking some shots. They had trouble rebounding against Fishers, Rogers and Badunga. You can talk about that, Jim. I don't know if
Oh,
I
I'm
know you were
going
telling
to.
me.
I'm going to.
We'll save that for you. But they did have some trouble with that. It was just the other guys, right? Zion Bellamy couldn't get anything to fall from the perimeter. None of them could get anything to fall. I think Adavion Young hit two in the fourth. They kind of got back to within 9 or 10. And every time they got right back, Adavion Young would hit a three, Metzger would come down and hit a three. Young came back down and pulled up and hit a three, and then Fishers would score. Metzger would hit another three. It just couldn't. They kind of went on a little run, but Fishers had all the answers, and it was just the guard play. Like John Anthony Hall, obviously Metzger and McCartney were both hitting. Cooper Zachary, and it wasn't Zachary. I think he might have. I remember him hitting a three. I'm not sure if he scored anymore, but some of the stuff with him is just like loose ball stuff or in a kind of a transition, just jumping the passing lane or just making the loose balls, just being super quick and just a high IQ. Him and John Anthony just getting to balls, keeping stuff alive. Keenan Gardner, for Fishers played pretty well. He did go down in the fourth, got injured. Couldn't really put any weight on his leg to come off the floor, but then he was able to walk back to the locker room gingerly. So it'll be interesting to see where he's at Saturday. I would assume he's going to play. But yeah, Fishers was just the better team. Outside of Florian, no one really played well for Kokomo, and they could never really get over the hump. Fishers got out to like 17-5 and just kind of was rolling, and ended up winning by, I think, 14.
You know, I think your point about McCartney and Zachary. They both scored early. And all you've got to do in that situation is hit one shot, and you're just immediately, everything on your scouting report becomes emphasized.
Yeah.
Because now you know for sure you can't leave him. You know, and McCartney's capable of putting up three, four, five threes a game if you don't guard him,
Yeah.
you know. And guard him is probably the wrong word if you don't account for him. You know, and Zachary's the same way. And Zachary is a really good movement shooter, which at a young age is tough. It's tough at any level to be a good movement shooter. The movement shooter to me is any type of movement into a shot. Come off a ball screen, coming off an off-ball screen, anything where you're not stationary on the catch. You know, even mid-range stuff is. To me, that's all being a good movement shooter. And it's more and more is just viewed as a separate skill. But, you know, when you have to account for those guys, now all of a sudden that opens it up inside, even against Florida. You know, I watched some of that last yesterday against Kokomo. I watched a little bit of it today against in the Wisconsin versus Purdue game, where you just need a little bit of space to get downhill, and all of a sudden those shot blockers are neutralized just a little bit more because they have to guard territory before they're able to get to the ball. And that's where nothing was easy for Kokomo yesterday. And even when you thought they might climb back in it, Fisher's never had a difficult moment in that game on offense.
No.
And sometimes you can look at situations when teams play each other, like who's scoring more easily, like Tipton versus Wapahani, which I'll get to, but I'll touch on a little bit now, is that like Tipton didn't take advantage of the fact that early in that game, things were easier for them. They didn't shoot well, but getting into their normal shots was easier than what Wapahani had to do to get their shots. And then the roof caved in. But the rebounding thing for Kokomo, the second chance opportunities for Fishers, you know, basketball, there's all these basketball is a game of runs, et cetera. Basketball is a game of possessions. And a turnover and offensive rebound are great ways to lose possessions. Having a three point made margin is, you know, against you is a loss of possessions. And it can really tilt the scoreboard against you. And you guys talked, I know, Dominique, you'd mentioned earlier you didn't like his motor against Fishers during the regular season game.
Yeah.
And I wonder if it's the same stuff that we saw a little bit yesterday, which was this. Carson Rogers and Flory Badunga at this level don't need to block out. They absolutely positively do not need to block out. Tom Izzo's war drill game, or war game drill, sorry, is a rebounding drill that probably every coach in Indiana knows about. And there's certain guys on his team that all they have to do is check and go. And those two dudes are check and go guys. And they both were blocking out like it was the perfect rebound drill or the perfect blockout drill. The perfect blockout drill is also a drill where that a lot of coaches swear by, where the ball has to touch the ground before the defense wins. And all that does to me is it shackles your best rebounders, your most athletic players, you know, guys who can high point the ball or high point misses and go after it. And you look at how well Badunga, how well Rogers blocked out, it didn't do him a damn good, because then John Anthony Hall would come through. And no offense to Flory, but Hall's the best athlete on the floor. Might be one of the few instances where Badunga's not the best athlete on the floor, but Hall is the best athlete on the floor, and he had zero problem cleaning that stuff up. You've got to go get the ball. I don't know if it was a function of, I mean, both those guys are great rebounders, and it's rough. It sounds like I'm trying to blame it on them, and take it for what it's worth, but they both looked at each other like the other one was going to get the rebound. It was just one big blockout drill after another. And neither one of them needs to be a blockout guy. They both need to be check and go guys. If Garner is on and Rogers are locked up and Garner's kicking Rogers' butt, okay, now Carson's got to adjust and he has to block out Garner. I get that. But man, otherwise, there's no reason for Garner to beat Badunga to a ball. None. And it just happened too often. There's no reason for John Anthony Hall beat Badunga to a ball, because Flory was too busy blocking out. And it was, I don't, it's tough. You know, you sit here and think, okay, am I taking sides? I kind of want Coach Peckinpah to win because I coached him, you know, and I want good things to happen for him. But I also like those Fisher kids. And I have a good relationship with Coach Weiniger. I don't really have a rooting interest in it, but it's just frustrating to see those players make those types of plays where they were so mentally blocked on or locked in on blocking out that it's like the old cliche, you can't see the forest through the trees. The goal is to get the rebound. That's the ultimate goal. The goal isn't to block out. And they just spent too much time doing that. And I don't know. You know, they're both seniors, but I don't know how you change that mentality, because it's not the way Flory played against Ben Davis last year. It's not the way Flory plays in a lot of other games. I don't know if he was worried about foul trouble or what, but man, it was possession after possession of watching those two guys block out, only to then have a little guard come in and scrape it up and get a layup.
Yeah, that was surprising, man. In that semi-state last year at Michigan City, Flory against Wayne and Penn, I mean, he just grabbed every offensive rebound, defensive rebound. It was just like, when the ball goes up, Flory's getting it. And he had put up, can't remember exactly the numbers, but he put up like 22 and 25 rebounds or something in those games. And it's just like, I just couldn't believe how many loose balls or rebounds or whatever you want to call it, Fishers was getting. I just couldn't believe it.
And if you want to be cautious and somewhat, you know, somewhat meticulous on the offensive end about going after offensive rebounds and maybe not being aggressive because you're trying not to pick up fouls because your presence on the floor is more valuable than the offensive rebound, that's fine. Because odds are you are taking the chance with verticality, you know, issues and whether or not referees, how they're calling the game and all. But the defensive end of the floor, man, just go get it. You know, there's let those other dudes block out. And it's, you know, I would like to go back and watch. I say I'd like to. I don't think I'm going to do it. But I would be curious to know if the littles on Kokomo blocked out, but then eventually somebody would get through and somebody would get through and get it from the, you know, from the perimeter side. You know, especially some of those longer shots and longer rebounds. But
right.
Yeah, I just it was frustrating just from a standpoint of two kids that had such a great year, and you'd hate for them to see to lose a game like that. Not only a game, but that game. Plus, I wanted to see a close game.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to see. I mean, Fishers out executed them in every way imaginable. They made Badunga work for everything inside, and he did. You're right. He offensively was a much bigger presence.
Oh yeah.
Than certainly what he was the first game. But the other thing for Kokomo was anytime Badunga would kick it out, it was an automatic shot, and it didn't need to be. You know, I don't think any of those Kokomo kids right now shoot the ball well enough. And maybe there's some stats that prove me wrong, but they didn't yesterday to where it's just an automatic shot just because he kicks it out to you. I mean, we're talking about highly contested shots. And, man, I would just go right back to him. You know, I would almost make sure he got two touches before I would settle for some of the shots they were taking.
So they were playing. They were playing through Flory. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And then
oh, yeah.
Fishers was coming down with the double,
triple. Yeah.
And then it sounds like Fishers guards rotated quick enough and fast enough out there to challenge and contest the outside shots, and Kokomo's guards or whoever just wasn't hitting yesterday.
They didn't hit, and I mean, the Davion Young hit two, like I said, late, and I think that was the only threes hit. Now I could be wrong. I did leave early, so. I could be wrong on that, but when it mattered.
Badunga's best pass tonight was to Andrew Barker, who's underneath the basket, you know, and it was the only time Flory passed it. That's not entirely true. I was going to say, the only time he threw it to the backside was to Barker, and then now, as soon as I say it, I think of two other times he did it, so that's not true, But Flory is the bottom line is Flory is a willing passer. And if he sees it, he's going to make the pass. And Fishers did a good job of complicating that. I mean, it's you know, again, the old adage, the other team gets to move too. It's even if Flory's seeing people open, it doesn't mean Fishers can't get there on the catch. You know, the airtime of the pass and contest the shot. And anytime Flory kicked it out, it seemed like that shot went right up. And it just wasn't a good idea because they weren't shooting a good percentage. But I thought Fishers exploited every opportunity they could in transition. I can't think of a time where they made a bad play. Not that they made every single shot, but I can't think of a time they made a bad decision or bad play. There was a moment at the end of the first half where the coach or the guys on TV were commenting on Fisher should have held the ball, used the clock. And I'm like, no, that's what let Noblesville get back in the game in the sectional. You know, they had control of the game and they thought, well, let's run the clock down. And it didn't work, you know, and here they were taking good shots and hitting them. And they were able to at least maybe not stretch their lead out, but certainly put pressure on Kokomo to score, because scoring for Kokomo was not easy in any way, shape, or form yesterday.
And I just wanted to add a last thing. I was of the belief coming into the year that last year's Kokomo team was the best chance for them to win state. I thought with the seniors they had, Xavion Bellamy, Shane Spear, Patrick Hardeman, and then obviously Flory and Reese Beard were their starters. I just thought that team was going to be the one that could win state. You know, their better team. You know, I think they would have, as you know, they ran into Ben Davis. That was the only team that I definitely didn't think they could beat. But I just thought with the seniors, with Bell and Xavion and Shane Spear, Patrick Hardeman, I had questions about the guys coming in this year. Corbin Hamill, really good player, could end up being a Division I player, but as a sophomore, you know, I just didn't think he was going to be able to do what Shane Spear did as a senior, right? And that's obviously,
And
you know, go ahead.
no, you're good. No, the differentiation between senior and sophomore is a very good point. I agree. I think that was, look, the guards for Kokomo have been the X factor all year. You know, and if you think about it, you mentioned Patrick Hardeman. He really wasn't a guard last year. He was their four.
Right.
You think about it, Rodgers didn't play much last year.
Yeah, I think he was their sixth man, but he didn't play a ton, or he might have
Well,
been sixth or seventh man.
sixth or seventh, but Zion Bellamy was hurt, and
Yeah.
you know, so there was some of that, and you know, but yeah, their guards that have not did not put it together as a whole as well as they had the last 2 years. But I would say that most think that Zion is a little bit more talented than his brother. I think Hamill's the most talented of all the guards that we've named.
Yeah.
But he looked uncomfortable against Fisher's pressure playing the point or initiating the offense. And I don't remember, he had just started to start, I think, for the Tipton game. Like, if that wasn't, I don't think it was his first start, but it was pretty early in the process. I didn't pay enough attention to remember if he initiated offense for them or not. He definitely didn't against Carmel. Even though he was certainly effective defensively when he came in the game. But yeah, no, I think last year, it could have been, if you consider talent, that's like we say, talent, who's the most talented, who's the better? Those are two separate conversations sometimes, especially
Yeah.
at this age. I no question that looking at it now as a whole, that last year was their best chance because Spear was fantastic in the state tournament. He was definitely fantastic as their second best scorer. And I mean, Hardeman could do some things defensively better than Rodgers, especially
Yeah,
away from the basket.
I mean, he guarded Burton in the semi-state.
Yeah, and you look at a guy like Rodgers, who's probably a pretty good defender, but not used to coming off screens, not
Yeah.
used to guarding all that screening action. You know, and Peck's big gamble was putting Flory on Hall.
Right.
And we talked about that a little bit a couple days before the state finals. And you think, well, it is a good idea because Hall's not going to shoot the ball that much from the outside. And if he does get enough stationary shots where you think it's hurting you, well, then you make a change. But again, I think there was a little bit of Flory that just worried a little bit too much about foul trouble. And it, you know, I don't know. And Fisher just
So they had a
doesn't let
lot of,
up.
they had a lot. How many transfers did they have at the beginning of the year? We talked
Kokomo, I
about
think it
it.
was five, right?
It was five, yeah.
So I know what you're saying, and maybe people who really watch Kokomo like that would say, you know, last year they had the better overall team, but with five, you know, solid transfers coming in and what they had coming back, including, you know, a McDonald's All-American, Mr. Basketball. Even us, a lot of people were talking about it. Kokomo undefeated season. This is their year and all that. So
Well,
I was not.
us
I
was
was
one,
pretty
and
firm on our 4A preview. I just thought, like I said, transfers coming in, younger, under two sophomores at least, with
that
Moore and Hamill.
moving from Taylor and New Haven. I mean, I know New
It's like,
Haven is a bigger school, but They've not had much of an identity lately
No.
Or ever. But
it
it's
takes
just
a minute to get transfers into your
absolutely.
Program and system.
And then at the end of the day, there was really only one that impacted at all was
that was Corbin.
Hamill, and that was it. You know, Barrismore came off the bench a little bit, but didn't play much yesterday. Ferrelli, or was I don't I'm not sure he
Fuhrle.
played.
I think it's Fuhrle,
I'm not sure he even. I don't know if I've ever seen him get in the game. AP Mitchell obviously went to Bossy, so he's not even on the team. So,
yeah, and I'm not specifically saying like, hey, it was you guys talking about undefeated. I'm saying I just heard the chatter out there. A lot of people
yeah.
were saying like, this
well,
is this
was
is
Zach.
Kokomo. This is all about the Wildcats this
that was
year.
Zach's headline.
That was Zach's.
Could they go?
Well, that was
could
Zach's
they go
storyline? And we answered that, and the answer was, I mean, I think we all sort of commented on some of our storylines, and Zach was
yeah.
like, "Can Kokomo go undefeated?" And I know Dominique and I were both like, "No, they can't." You know, and Fisher's almost did it, you know, and regular season wise, Greenfield did do it.
That's just really hard to do, man.
It's
like,
it's really hard to do,
especially in that area. Like,
but I get what you're
schedule.
Saying, Patrick.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question. I think Kokomo's team was more talented this year than last year's team, but there's still a lot of unknown. There was a lot of unknown factors coming into the year. A lot of it, obviously, were with the two sophomore guards. How would they adapt to a much bigger stage? I think we all thought, especially Patrick and I, because I think we both had seen him. I know I had seen him. I'm sure Patrick had, because AP Mitchell came from Louisville. Louisville or Louisville area?
Wasn't it
Owensboro?
Owensboro. Okay. So he came from Kentucky, but had you seen him play as a
Yeah,
junior?
I've seen him
Okay.
through AAU ball.
Okay. And I think we're all kind of shocked that he didn't provide something for them.
Well, and I was telling Kyler this yesterday. I think his leash was just super short. Like playing with behind Florey and Rogers, like you're not, you know, probably not a lot of minutes to be had there. But then if you're in and something goes wrong, you're probably coming out pretty quick. And then that now he's at Bossy, and you know, I'm assuming he's starting for them as just free as a bird, right? He just get out and run and get loose.
There was zero comfort level with him guarding away from the paint. And I don't know how much of that he's doing with Bossy, but at that point, you were squarely Badunga's backup. And there's not going to be a whole lot of minutes just strictly being Badunga's backup.
Exactly, yeah.
Now, it sounds real nice having Rogers and Mitchell and Badunga. Like, you're tall, you're long, you're athletic and all that, but some of those guys play and do the same things as each other. So, you know what I mean?
especially Rod. I mean, look, I made the point about Rogers earlier here in my diatribe was he struggled getting through screens. You know, all the actions that Kokomo or that Fishers was running. You know, and that is a challenge. When you're not used to guarding that much action, it is difficult. There are guys who are good defenders. Ron Artest is a great example of this. One of the best defenders in the NBA, certainly in his prime, absolutely struggled getting through screens. Absolutely struggled. And it just was not something, he just was too big, you know, and probably not maybe quicker than what I'm going to give him credit for, but was probably just more length and strength than he was just sheer quickness. And, you know, if Carson Rogers is struggling getting through screens, I got to imagine AP Mitchell is struggling getting through screens. You're right, Patrick. There's a lot of duplication there. And if he's the lesser of two, if he's the lesser of the two between Rogers and
yeah.
He's only getting minutes behind Badunga. I'm not saying that's how I would have done it. I'm definitely saying that's not how I would have done it. But at the same time, I'm not at practice every day. And I don't know that, and just as we talked about yesterday, I don't know that it impacts the game yesterday.
No.
It doesn't impact it. I mean, I don't know if Flory's more at ease, if you know you've got more options behind him from a foul trouble perspective. I don't know. I don't know where that goes mentally with a kid or even a coach. But you know, you don't at the high school level, you don't really have a whole lot of time to experiment with things, especially when you've got a generational talent at your school like Madonga is, and you figure as long as he's out of foul trouble and not injured, there's no reason why he can't play a whole game. And so that impacted it. But I mean, Mitchell's certainly impacting Bossy in positive ways.
Yeah, we'll get on that when we talk about semi-states.
We definitely will.
Yeah.
I saw Wapahani and Tipton, and I know I touched on it a little earlier. The beginning of the game, Tipton, it was a much easier game for Tipton than it was for Wapahani in the first quarter.
Surprising
Unfortunately.
score.
Yeah, well, yeah. The third quarter, the roof just caved in, but Tipton didn't take advantage of it. They weren't playing with any sort of pace. They weren't hitting their shots. There was no. I thought I know at one point I tweeted this. So Carpenter guarded Isaac Andrews.
Okay.
And Grady did a really good job on Isaac Andrews. Okay. And even though who's shoot, what's Camden Bell? Good Lord. Even though Camden Bell, kid's gonna be my player of the week, my player performance of the week. So there's some spoiler alert. Camden Bell had a good first half, but not what even happened in the second half. But Carpenter being on Isaac Andrews took him away from rebounding. He literally spent the entire possessions not looking at the ball. And when you're that engaged, going no help on somebody, it is sometimes it can be tough to play the other aspects of the game, especially when you're as dynamic at that level as Grady Carpenter is. And I've had some guys who have been poor defenders who could really go no help on somebody. They could do a great job of not going to out anybody. And it's not everybody that I go no help with is a poor defender. I'm just saying it's a separate skill set. The ability to just solely focus on one thing, completely disregard the ball, be good enough to get through screens, which Grady Carpenter did a great job of. Tipton's coverage of Isaac Andrews was outstanding. Could not have been prepared for any better, could not have been executed any better, with one exception, and that is Grady Carpenter was not a presence on the defensive glass, and their best offense is him ripping and running in transition, and they didn't get any of it. In fact, they had to manufacture transition after baskets just by Grady forcing the ball up the floor, and it worked. But by then, they were down 18, and it just wasn't enough. And everything tipped and shot. Everything, the whole game was short. Front rim, air ball, every single shot they missed, it seemed like, was short.
So was Grady their tallest kid?
Tallest kid on the court by
Yeah.
3 inches. Wapahani has zero size.
Yeah, this is our biggest guy, like 6'3", maybe.
Yeah.
Papahani.
Yeah. I tell you what, Camden Bell was brilliant. And he was hurt. Came out of the game once to work on something. Then he twisted his foot, couldn't hardly walk, and toughed it out. Isaac's dad, Jeff, told me around Christmas that he was the toughest kid on the team. And he certainly showed it. Said the kid is just he's just nails. And I mean, he was fabulous. Scored off the dribble, he hit shots. He handled the ball a little bit. They did get. I need to pull up the roster here. They did. The Brooks kid hit a couple of shots. I mean, it was. They had six straight possessions. In the third quarter were threes. That's. I mean, that's hard to do. It's hard for a team to hit six threes in a quarter, let alone six straight possessions. Seven of their nine baskets in the third quarter were threes. They got them from Nick Cook. He hit a couple. They obviously got them from Camden Bell. I'm not even sure that Isaac hit a three until the third quarter or the fourth quarter. He might have. I don't know. Their first basket of the third quarter was a two. Their next six baskets in a row, six possessions in a row, were threes. And then they broke it by hitting another layup or another paint basket. And then they hit one more three for good measure. And that was the quarter. I think they outscored Tipton. What is that? 24 to, I can't remember if they're free throws. So 26 to 5, maybe. No, it wasn't like that. It was maybe 24 to 5 in the third quarter.
That was one of the toughest games I thought to call this weekend.
No doubt. Luce's son hit a couple. I mean, again, I wanted it to be a fun game. It was fun. Anytime you get that kind of shot making, I mean, Tipton certainly wasn't enjoying it, but anytime you see that kind of shot making, it's fun, even if it was just a complete onslaught from the start of the second half on. But I thought Wapahani had to be super, super pleased with the tempo of the game. And I think they also had to feel good being down, being ahead by one. And I don't know that Isaac scored in the first half. If he did, it was in transition. I don't remember him hitting a three in the first half.
Sounds like
He
that
got,
Crown Point with Jack Svetich.
yeah, Svetich did that to me in Noblesville too,
That's
where it was
right.
like didn't score in the first half. You're thinking, oh well, maybe he's not all that. And then he goes out and puts like 18 up in the second half. You're like, okay, he's good. It's timing, man. You think about it from a college perspective, like a college coach leaves at halftime. They think, man, this kid can't shoot. This kid can't score. Why am I here? And then he goes out and drops 18 and a half. But yeah, so yeah, congratulations to Wapahani. Congratulations to Fishers, obviously. All my games were blowouts. All of them. LN, Avon.
I did see that the trifecta there was all kind of blowouts there. Yeah.
Yeah. Patrick, where'd you were at Seymour again?
Was it Seymour? Yeah. And also real quick, shout out to Seymour for really taking care of me. And they had the food provided, the hospitality, everything was great. And I hope to be back again this coming weekend.
Must be
But
nice.
shout out to Seymour ADs for sure.
Like no, he ran over his bill, not letting him back in.
First game, Forest Park and Switzerland County. I think Forest Park, it was kind of them and North Posey in their sectional. But Switzerland County maybe was a little bit of an afterthought, a little bit of a surprise, but they're just now getting fully 100% healthy this time of year. And both teams, they came out. It was a little sluggish at the beginning, but Reed Howard, Forest Park's guard, I believe he's a Western Kentucky baseball commit. He's a tough kid. He scored 34 on Saturday. He's had games where he had, I believe, 36 or 37 against Paoli. So he's gone off before. Outside shots, taking it to the basket any way you want it, he was getting it. And Switz battled back from an early deficit. They came back. I believe they got it to within one, maybe late in the third, early in the fourth. Camden Craig, he, man, that kid is real tough. He had 26 on Saturday. He had a shot there with about 8 or 9 seconds left that would have tied the game. But I mean, they were doubling and tripling, and he was coming around screens and curling around, and one or two guys would be hitting him, and then he'd come around and get pushed out, and then he'd be doubled. So he's a very willing passer. He found some guys inside. He scored in when he wasn't being doubled and hit some long shots. He's a good ball player. He looks like he's just getting back 100% healthy. And they got a good group of juniors with Cooper Todd and Caden Riley and of course Cam, and good experience for them this year. Going into next year, looking to maybe do some things in a sectional that might kind of get flipped around here when the realignment comes out. I'm not really sure what that's going to look like.
Yeah, I mean, would they be
So they're going to be in
one of the
two
they're going to be one of the better
with.
favorites in 2A next year, South?
No, they're going to be one of the. They're going to be in the mix with in the sectional and possibly regional. I mean, you gotta think like Switzerland County, they've never won a regional game. So for them to get there is a good step this year with some underclassmen, and then next year kind of have some thoughts of okay, let's do something this school's never done before, and let's win a regional.
Well, who will be there? Sullivan. Brownstown's going to be 3A next year.
That's a possibility. Yeah.
Park Heritage. No, I think they're safe. So Park Heritage will be around.
I mean, you're looking, I mean, South Ripley is going to be a contender. I mean, they're going to be in the mix down there. I believe Hauser's moving to 1A. Southwestern may move over into that sectional. I mean, we're just not sure yet
Oh,
exactly what's
I'm
going to
just
happen.
talking getting through to the state, getting through to semi-state or state finals. I mean, if
Well,
they've
I
got that many
mean,
underclassmen and Cam Craig back, that's a pretty formidable start. I mean, you're looking at some of these teams. Again, Brownstown's going to be out of the way, I think. No, I don't know. I don't know. Got to go back to the point system. Probably not, actually. But if Brownstown does win a state championship, they won't be 2A next year.
that's right.
Park Heritage are all they're pretty much all underclassmen. Northeastern, the core of their production is underclassmen. See, those are just the teams in the South.
Park Tudor.
Yeah, Park Tudor's got a lot of underclassmen. So, but I still think Switzerland County is going to be a team.
They're gonna be one of the players. But you know, I wouldn't flat out say favorites, but I would say they're in the mix. Anytime you got a kid like Cam Craig, he's gonna battle and you got a shot.
What was the second game?
Second game. Oh, real quick, shout out to a Jacob Williams from Switzerland County who tore his ACL in September and battled his way back and just got back like a week or two ago and played in the regional. So that was big for the team and big for him.
Good.
But second game, man, it sounded like some of your games, Jim. It was
Yeah.
almost over
Was it
from the
32
beginning.
to
It was
32-9.
yeah, and Batesville, they had a good year. I believe they were 20-5 or 20-6. Cade Kaiser, real good junior coming back next year. But it was just really obvious from the opening that Scottsburg was just on another level.
The rain in threes or what were?
Everything. I mean, defensively causing turnovers. You know, they're long anyway. Jack Miller, Wyatt Zellers, just getting their hands in passing lanes. It seemed like there were six or seven of them out there against five. I mean, they were Cody Clancy just. Their senior just could not miss. He was hitting threes. He was driving to the basket. He was pretty much just picking and choosing where he wanted to score from. I think Jack Miller had 9 or 10, which yeah, he didn't, you know, he's a defensive kid. He'll give you what he can and what you need. Wyatt Zellers had a couple dunks, 14, 15 points. Caden Richardson had another 13, 14, just a well-balanced team for a team that only plays five or six kids. If they play that way, they're going to be tough to beat. I mean, Evansville Bossy is a completely different animal coming up, but this past weekend, Scottsburg looked really, really good. Probably as good as I've ever seen this group, and maybe as good as I ever seen a Scottsburg team play going back. Who was your coach back in the 90s, Jim? Help me out. What was his name?
Bennett.
Bennett, you know, back when they had BJ Watts and some of those guys.
Rumple. Watts
Yeah.
and Rumple.
Yeah.
That was back in the day when the football teams that didn't have football could start early. So you could always get down and watch that. It was always Southwestern Hanover versus Scottsburg. And it was It was just, I don't know, it was always like, and then it was always either that or I'd go to WRV in Eminence, not knowing later that decade I'd be coaching in Eminence, but it was just a chance to see schools you wouldn't otherwise get to see. And Scottsburg, they were trying to score 100 points a game when they had
Yeah.
Watts and Rumpel.
Yeah.
And they took their lumps as freshmen. But then they were kind of like,
Same deal with these guys.
yeah, kind of like Martinsville with that, with their one undefeated crew where they were took a lot of beatings as freshmen and then sort of made it their senior year, sort of tried to make it a revenge tour.
Yeah, I mean, so Scottsburg, they won their first sectional since 2005 last year. They had 10 to 12 years at least of being mediocre at best. So this team and this group has really pulled that community and program together. I mean, half the gym was in gold and purple. And I imagine it'll be the same next weekend at Seymour.
We need to get Dan Dockage to be like
Oh gosh.
in the crowd.
If they make the
Get
state finals, Dan Dockett, shout out. You got
Dan
to be
over.
there.
Get Dan over.
I wouldn't advise him giving the pregame speech, but little motivational tool.
Yeah. Saw the end of Jeffersonville Harrison game. That was fun.
Yes, I listened to it on the way home, man.
Finally, averted my attention away from Ellen and Avon. And, or no, that averted it away from Kokomo and Fishers. And Michael Cooper caught fire.
Mikey.
Scored 11 points in the fourth quarter. Eight in a row at one point. And then that was his first eight of the quarter. Then he had another big three late to ice it, basically. And then Singleton, Shane Sims was hitting shots. Brooks Thomas hit two threes for
Yeah,
Harrison, two
Eli
quarter
Spear
threes.
was hot that game.
There was a high level, there were high level shot making that in that quarter alone. And you saw the stat. In fact, you tweeted it or you retweeted it, Patrick. I think Harrison shot 56% from the floor.
55,
Had
56%, but then
two,
Jeffersonville shot like 74% in the fourth quarter or second
yeah,
half, something crazy.
2-to-1 assist ratio, assist to turnover ratio for Harrison, and lost. And still managed to get beat. That's how well Jeffersonville played. And it was funny. I texted Sharon after the game. I said, "Dude, you're out further in the court coaching than you were during the celebration. He needs to be careful of that. He's got to have one of his assistants with like a arm bar or like something to grab his belt and pull him back to the bench." He was intense.
Jeffersonville's always been a basketball tradition rich school, but what he's done with those kids and for that community to bring them, I mean, they haven't won a regional since 2013, so it has been a minute. And it's not easy to win there, as you know. So what he's done for those kids, man, you got to give it up for Sharon and the staff there at Jeffersonville.
Well, it's not easy to win anytime you play the types of teams they play. But it's the same thing that Don Carlisle went through at Ben Davis. There's just something different about doing it for your alma mater. And, Sharon was part of probably the best team they've ever had there, with him and Corey Norman and Brian Hanley and BJ Flynn, that group of guys that won a state championship in '93. And ironically enough, Ben Davis was in the Final Four that year as well. And they beat a good Ben Davis team that day. And there's just a little bit different. It's a different emotion when you do it for your alma mater. Not that I've been in that position, but it's just got to be. And I know he's been excited. He was excited that when he got that job. He knew he could make a difference. He knew he could get those guys to buy in and play. And And hopefully this is one of those things where I hope all those dudes down there just stay at their schools and quit moving around and, let the, let the Jeffersonville kids stay in Jeffersonville, let the New Albany kids stay in New Albany, let the Floyd Central kids stay in Floyd Central, and, let Providence get their fair share
That
of
would be nice. That's wishful thinking, but yeah,
the kids
we
to
can
their
hope for that.
diocese. I know.
When was that? They won the state, Jim, Jeffersonville. What year?
1993.
1993.
That's a great year. What a year.
Oh,
Well,
yeah.
I was born in 93.
Nice.
Great year.
Yeah, now you're old.
Yeah.
Now you're in your 30s.
Welcome to being one of
Barely.
us.
31.
But yeah, that was one of my favorite. I mean, there was no more competitive of a player than Sharon. I don't know that I've ever been around a kid that was as competitive as him. Maybe Peckinpah, John. But both
I
those
could see
guys.
that with Peck for
Oh
sure.
yeah. Well, the kid played with the helmet. So it's because he suffered concussions and didn't want to not play. So
Back then, when the Jeffersonvilles had Sharon and BJ, and New Albany's had Ladrell and Noy Castillo and Lamont Rowland and all those guys, man,
Oh yeah.
basketball is just it's so much better down south here when New Albany and Jeff are good.
From the late 80s, especially around 89 through 96, some of the best basketball players in the state came through that River Falls area. And it was all the names you named, plus you look at how good Corydon was with those teams with Blewett and Logsdon. The Shane brothers, from South Central, even over to New Washington with the Arthur twins and
Arthur's,
or the Matthews
Matthews.
twins and Arthur and all those dudes. Those were again New Washington, another team that I could go down and watch because I didn't have football. Watch early in the year, even that Scottsburg team that we had talked on earlier. Those were some of their best teams that they've had, at least in the last 50 years. I know a lot of these teams have stuff they did in the 40s and 50s, and great, super. The game's a lot different now than it was in the 90s. But yeah, all those teams were really good. And, I remember thinking, could Corydon beat Jeffersonville? And they gave Jeffersonville a hell of a game.
Well, White River Valley gave them maybe the
Well,
toughest
that's,
game of the entire tournament.
yeah, that was, yeah. Imagine being the White River Valley. Imagine being Dave Clark. You have basically, well, Lions and Marcos was their own entity. And of course, they were a Final Four team with Patterson and Oliphant long before the WRV was ever a thing. But then L&M merged with Worthington and Sioux City. Dave Clark had 12 returning starters that first year. 12 kids had started for his high for their high school team the year before. And that was Matthew Graves was part of that, obviously. Yeah, that's just phenomenal, and they just could never get through Jeffersonville. But yeah, basketball was pretty fun in that neck of the woods. WRV is not exactly that neck of the woods, but they certainly were part of it because their road to the state finals was always Jeffersonville. At least with Matthew's bunch.
I've heard them being mentioned as possibly one of the best small schools of all time.
No, there's no question. To me, I don't. There's never been a school that size has been more talented. I would challenge anybody to name one. I don't. Milan, fine. Throw me the Milans. That's fine. The game was different then. What WRV had to go through with that crew. No, nobody was more talented than them. They beat that Anderson group, coming up when they were younger in the just in the summers. But those Anderson teams were loaded as well. White River
Dominic, I
State.
hope you're taking notes. This is a history
Good
lesson.
night, apparently.
This is me when I started branching out from Carmel's schedule, getting to see all these teams play, and kind of what got me into all this mess. Was watching all this good basketball at when gas was 75 cents a gallon.
Long gone.
How so? Crown Point. Who wants to? I only got to watch. I didn't get to watch the whole game. I got to watch the final 5 minutes and then overtime.
Okay, so it looked like to me, just watching it, I kept expecting Crown Point to just kind of start pulling away little by little. Svetich didn't get going till what did we say? Maybe even overtime, fourth quarter overtime.
Yeah, same with
And
me.
then Shaw, I think he was scoreless or only had two at halftime.
Yeah, I think he was scoreless at half.
Yeah,
And it
but
was a
neither one of
one
those guys
point
scored the
game.
first half.
It was a one
Right.
point game. I'm thinking there's no way those guys are just going to stay quiet the entire second half. And I mean, they almost Warsaw, they had a shot there at the end. They had the last possession chance to win, but I guess Crown Point had a full court heave that looked pretty good too.
Well, Jim, you get threw me off there when I was watching the it was getting ready to inbound it, and you put in the Slack. What did you say? You said like
Holy cow, or cow.
all caps, holy cow. So I'm like, oh my, and they were just inbounding it. So I'm like, oh, something crazy happened. So like, oh, Warsaw must have just hit this three, and then I saw they got it stolen. Then they threw up the three quarter court heave. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's going in. Jim said, holy cow, and it almost went in. I was like, what is going on?
Can't remember what
Wow.
I remember saying that, but I don't remember why.
It's because I'm assuming it's the three quarter court heave almost went in.
That almost went in, yeah.
And I think
Really
both
threw me
teams this
off.
year, both this year, maybe they wouldn't say it, but maybe they ex exceeded some expectations. They're both young. Crown Point has a nice sophomore class, and Warsaw has a really good junior class. So I
Jim,
think,
what was the question? Who?
yeah, I said something about that was a success. I felt like once you get to semi-state, especially with a team full of underclassmen, and of course Svetich is a senior, that you've had a successful year. Now, you're not going to say that to your group when you're getting ready to go out on the court at semi-state. But realistically, for Crown Point this year, yeah, semi-state, this is
Well,
a good
yeah.
year.
No, I thought
Like I
that
said,
well the you so I guess the part of that what you said, I found it in our Slack, probably a year ahead of schedule for Crown Point. I don't know that I would view them next year. I mean, I think Svetich really makes a difference for them. He is the he and Shaw, especially Shaw's emerged this year as the player we thought he could be. But Svetich is still has been all year the top guy in that scouting report.
Yep.
And how they adjust next year will be a thing. They'll have to figure that out. They'll have the Rhodes twins, they'll have Durrell, and they'll have Dikembe Shaw will be their headliner guy.
Rhodes
I
played well
would
in this one too, by the way.
who did
Yes, he did.
Rhodes?
Kingston
Rhodes,
Rhodes, yeah, he played pretty well.
I would view them maybe when they're seniors. Because again, you look at who's the best team. So who was the best team in the region this year? Well, maybe by process of elimination, it's Crown Point. Because they certainly held their own during the regular season. And now here they have emerged as the last man standing. But I think there'll be some teams next year that have a good group of seniors to their juniors. And I guess my
They
point
won't
there
have to
would
worry about East Chicago.
the not in March they won't, that's for sure. But I guess I still would view Crown Point as maybe when those dudes are seniors. Then maybe that's their year. I mean, they're still going to be good next year. They'll be, but I don't. Yeah, I think that it was probably a surprise for them to get this far.
I thought when Warsaw was down nine and they came all the way back and they were just rolling, hitting shots, came all the way back and tied it. I thought
Crown
they should
Point
have
didn't
just,
score
yeah, I
in the
thought they
fourth
should have
quarter.
just kept rolling a little bit, kind of get that lead. And I think they kind of took the air out of the ball a little bit. And I'm not sure they scored after that at all. They didn't score in the overtime, Warsaw.
No.
I don't know. I would have liked to see them keep going. They got all the way back and tied it. And it just kind of seemed like it was like, they weren't doing what they did to tie, get back and
So
tie it.
what it looked like to me is when they went a little smaller and they took their senior big, Luke Jaeger, out, they had a mismatch offensively they could take advantage of against Mulaski for Crown Point. And they kind of went around him, went by him, whatever. And he did what he could. He was solid on defense, but they had a little bit of a quickness advantage. And when they brought Luke Jaeger back in for Warsaw, they really didn't go to him and didn't use him as much as I would expect or I would like. And I know Mulaski is a big boy, he's strong, you know, it's not guaranteed you're gonna score against him, but I would think if you got good position and you're 6'7" or whatever Jaeger is, you could kind of play through him and take advantage of that.
Yeah, I just thought they kind of let off the gas. They got all the way back to where they needed to be to tie it, and I thought they should have just kept rolling. And I think they kind of took their foot off the gas, and by the time they needed to score it again, you know, I don't no one could hit a shot. You know, they didn't score again, I don't think.
Well, this goes back to the Fisher stuff last week. What I mentioned earlier with the TV crew from Kokomo, which I mean, it's not a it's a pragmatic point. You know, once you sort of get control, you start getting traction. Do you then try to shorten the game? And there's a lot of coaches that believe in doing that. I just like you said, Dominic, I just don't happen to be one of those guys. It's a lot of it's based on personnel. But yeah, I would keep doing what got you in the lead.
And it's easy to obviously say that now that we know what happened, but still, I would have still just kept my foot on the gas a little bit longer to try to get a lead.
Well, I was first guessing Fisher's, not second guessing their Noblesville game. It's like just they should just keep going. I mean, it was borderline dangerous because they had a hard time adjusting to the tempo they then created themselves. And I think it almost cost them the game against Noblesville.
Yeah.
And it is, you are 100% right. It is easier to say it with hindsight being on your side, but this is a common theme for me where you see so many of these teams. Look, I look at those old Kokomo teams with Coach Mauby, who I have the utmost respect for, but Norm Held and Anderson, all those years, would get a lead and go in the deep freeze and they'd get beat. You, when you go into the Kokomo Bloomington North state finals game in
Yep.
97, Kokomo controlled 75% of that game. It took one scoring burst for Bloomington North to win it because Kokomo had no chance to generate offense quickly. Because everything they had done to that point, not just that game, but much of the year was generated, I'm sorry, was geared around when we get the lead, we're going to put it in the deep freeze and we're going to keep it the deep freeze. But Bloomington North was able to turn them over and turn the tide of that game, and Kokomo had no answer for it. Kokomo did everything they could to keep Bloomington North in that game. And so sometimes when you do that, it bites you in the butt, you know, and that's, you know, it's, you know, you think you got a 5-point lead. Now we're going to drag this thing out. We're going to make them guard us. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And all next thing you know, you get a couple of empty possessions. Other team goes down and score. That's exactly what Noblesville did to Fishers at the end of the first half and the start of the second half. It didn't get any better. And luckily for Fishers, their defense saved their bacon. And then you watch them play Kokomo, and there was no let up. And that's going to your point, Dominique, is you just keep your foot on the gas as much as you can. Don't do stupid stuff. No heat checks. You know, no, don't get flashy. Stay in your lane, but keep the foot on the gas without question.
I believe they battled back to tie it, and then they kind of maybe it was 2 minutes left, somewhere around there. And then they started playing just for maybe a last shot, more of a stall.
I mean, they were wasn't Warsaw up 9 at one point?
No, Crown Point was up nine.
Crown Point was.
Late.
Yeah, and Warsaw came all the way back. That's what I'm talking about when they
Okay.
took finally tied it, and then they just kind of, I thought they should have just kept putting the. Put the pedal down, keep going,
I'm
but they
trying
kind
to.
of slowed it down.
Oh, that's what it was. They made a point in overtime. They said Crown Point led by 5. That was their largest lead of the game. I'm like, no, because at one point they said Warsaw
Was
scored,
nine.
yeah, 9 in a row. That's what it was. Okay. My brain froze up there.
That's kind of a weird, like, right? Like, Crown Point didn't score a point in the fourth quarter. Was that true? Is that
That's
that's
true. Yeah.
and then Warsaw didn't score a point in overtime. That's kind of bizarre.
It's like that South Ripley, Western game I saw last year.
One of your favorites.
That I'll never forget. Never seen more 18-point leads blown in a single game.
And we don't take our foot off the gas down here. It's full go. Hell with the lead.
Park Coyote's got to dissect Northeastern. They did an outstanding job. Unfortunately, the feed didn't have a scoreboard on it, so I could only know the scores at the end of each quarter. And I wasn't, and I was just watching that game on TV basically. So it wasn't a great viewing, but I thought they were precision. They got a basket whenever they needed it. It seemed like I didn't see any of the 1A stuff except for what Liberty Christian did at the end of regulation. I would have liked
I didn't see anything
Bethesda.
Well, I heard Greenwood Christian boy, was it Boer? He had a really good game against Oldenburg.
Anybody get eyes on Bar Reeve yet?
No.
Patrick, you've not seen them?
I have not.
All right, so my player, not that we're done, but let's transition here because I want to get to some more other stuff here because we're at close to 90 minutes now. Cam DeBell was my player performance. His, like I said, his shot making was crucial because Isaac Andrews, I mean, they tipped in, like I said, they executed everything perfectly with Isaac Andrews. Unfortunately, for Tipton, the other guy stepped up, and Camden Bell was the head guy there. And he battled through injuries. I assume he's going to be fine for semi-state. Sometimes that stuff can linger and get worse the next day, and you wake up and the adrenaline's gone, and you're pretty well screwed. But he was impressive. His shot-making, just his overall ability. Scored without the basketball, like he played, he moved without the basketball. He was able to do a little bit of everything, and they really didn't have an answer for him. And Tipton, outside of Carpenter, is pretty undersized, and they just, nothing was bothering their shooters, and they took full advantage of it. And shoot, Andrews ended up with 16. I think I would guess that 10 or 12 of it was in the fourth quarter. But Camden Bell basically carried them for much of that stretch. Patrick, who's your guy?
I mean, we talked about what Reed Howard did at Forest Park. I've talked about Cam Craig. We discussed Michael Cooper at Jeff, but the game that Cody Clancy had on Saturday against Batesville was one of his best games I've ever seen him play. He keeps getting better and better. 20 points in basically 10 minutes of action. 2 minutes into the second quarter, he had 20 already. He was, he had highlight behind the back, layup, 3-point shot, wherever you want it, however you want it. It was just his day, and I'm going Cody Clancy, Scottsburg.
Dominic, who's your dude?
Both teams that won, it was pretty balanced. Obviously, Fishers is kind of always balanced. Liberty Christian was balanced with their scoring. I'm going to go with Tayden Metzger. I just thought, he ended with 18, six threes. And really, I'm giving it to him because with Kokomo, they did make a little run. Their crowd really got into it. It got loud. A Davion Young hit back-to-back threes and cut it to, he's either 9 or 10. And it looked like, it was early in the fourth. It looked like, something, another couple stops, Kokomo could definitely get back in this thing. But every time, like I said earlier, Metzger just bombed a three in at really crucial times. And I'm going with him. We understand he's committed to Huntington, correct?
Yes.
Yeah,
and he's just a big-time shot maker, one of the best shooters in the state. And he had a really good game on Saturday.
Big surprises this week, not just point spread, but any
yeah.
I mean, there are some surprises, but what are some surprises to that? Not just point spread games. I'm talking like actual, You're surprised this team won.
Yeah, a team that I thought I expected actually to get to the state finals and had a good shot at possibly winning it. Hammond Knoll getting beat this weekend.
Yeah, that was my
Yeah.
Coach Cheesham getting it done.
I mean, maybe you can talk a little bit how they did it or
I can't.
anything
Yeah.
about Fairfield,
Okay, I
but
just know Cheesham's hard noses all get out, and
yeah.
his kids are gonna fight and compete, and that's all I know about North Judson. I check in
No,
with him, I think,
they play
twice a year.
Fairfield. Fairfield.
Who?
Hammond
Noel
Knoll.
played Fairfield.
Oh crap! I'm thinking Gary 21st Century.
Yeah. You can
Okay, I
have
know
that
nothing
one.
about
That's a
Fairfield.
surprise.
I know nothing about Fairfield either.
I know
I know less about Fairfield than I do about North Putt or North Judson.
Judson.
Someone was at that game and texted me and said that
My
Knoll
bad.
came out sleepwalking in the first half and kind of got it going a little bit in the second half. It just wasn't enough. It was really low scoring.
Yeah, 41 to 39.
City guys, sometimes city kids, they just think they're going to come in and roll. And it doesn't work that way sometimes.
Well, not in the regional, I wouldn't think. But
Well,
my well, there's a couple surprises, but I'll fill in for Zach. Mishawaka beating East Chicago.
we need
I thought
to.
that was a surprise.
Zach is required to watch Mishawaka this weekend and re
If
report everything he sees.
we're going to talk about, records, sectional winner, regional winner records, and all that, then you got to give a shout out for me picking Mishawaka. I was the only one that picked them, by the way.
Congrats.
Appreciate that.
I watched some of that, man. I'm not sh when I was a while, I was on the way home from Newcastle, so wasn't it locked in, but it just seemed like East Chicago was just whoever brought the ball up one on one or passed it to the wing, and whoever caught it was going one on one. And I saw a lot of turnovers. I saw Mishawaka all over the floor, rebounding, pushing guys out of the way. I think Zach said that I don't think they have any college basketball players, a couple football or baseball kids, but seems like they just play really hard. They're physically put together, and I mean, it was like 42 to 18 at one point. I was like, what's going on?
What I really liked about East Chicago this year was they would get down and then they would just come out of nowhere and just storm back. And I thought when I saw your all's update, I thought, okay, well, they got another. This is what they do. This is their MO. They get down and then they fight their way back and they make a 10, 12-0 run within 2 minutes. It just, eventually that's going to catch up to you when you get far in the tournament and, you play good teams. They're just not going to allow you to do that. It's a good season for them, though, going into next year. They got a lot of underclassmen and credit to Mishawaka.
3A North favorite next year?
No. Well, North, yes.
Yeah, North.
Yeah.
East Chicago versus the winner of Cathedral versus Attucks.
Cathedral.
All the 4A flavor that
You don't
you
even
should
need to
know.
listen to our podcast. I mean, we're calling it right now, Cathedral East
We
Chicago
are. We're
3A
calling it right now.
on what, March, whatever it is, 10th.
I'm not sure I'm calling Cathedral just yet, but I'm definitely calling the winner of that game getting to the state finals. And I hope it happens. Everybody trying to gerrymander this class basketball stuff to suit their fancy. Again, we're going to create areas where this is not what we asked for. Well, that's what you're going to get. Just like seven private schools winning 1A regional. That's 12 to 16 were private schools. That's just sort of touche for how class basketball kind of got rammed down everybody's throat to begin with. But I have enjoyed it. I don't want to cross any hairs on that, but it's how this whole thing went down. When Dominique was four, was
I would
none
say
too
this is the only
pleasing.
thing I know of class basketball, so.
It is, yeah. People ask, are we ever going to go back? Well, no, we've got a whole generation of people, two generations of kids that know nothing but, and it'll never go back. And that's fine. I'm okay with it. I mean, I'm come to terms with it emotionally. But
Three
the point
years of
is
therapy.
there's still a level of screw you in it where actions have consequences, and the consequences are class basketball made it really appealing for all those small private schools to dabble into varsity athletics. And then they started winning. They started having success. And oh my gosh, it was fun. And now they're here dominating, just like they do in football. Don't know why anybody thought any differently. And then
you're
North
the
Judson.
Private should have their own class debate.
Yeah, that's not even a debate. If you think privates need to have their own class, just quit and go start your own class to begin with. North Judson proved everybody wrong. They go out and they beat the big charter school. Not a big school, but the big bad Gary 21st Century. None of us picked North Judson, so definitely a surprise. And I think
it's a surprise, but what, North Judson what lost 3,000 point scorers off of last year's team, so certainly have a young team coming back, but they certainly were the favorites.
But I mean, we obviously Gary 21st Century, thought, you know, they had some really good wins. We like their young guys. You know,
right.
we definitely like their young guys. I don't mean to. I don't know if I may have said something that sounded a little derogatory. That was more lumped into small schools can't compete with charter schools, or small schools can't compete with private schools. And North Judson and Fairfield are like, hello, here we are. You know, we're putting our best foot forward and we're beating them. So, you know, buck up, develop your kids, hire a good coach, let him do his thing.
Let him cook.
You know, I think Lagodi would probably be like to have maybe cheese him back. I don't know. I don't know all about that situation, but that to me was the biggest surprise. I mean, Fairfield had a really wonderful year.
Yeah.
I don't know that Judson.
They had a nice record, but I don't know if they beat. I'm assuming their schedule wasn't awesome or beating a lot of real good, you know.
If I remember correctly, I'm the only one that picked them to win the sectional. So, and I only did it because of Cheesem. I had no insight. You know, they beat, you know, Hebron was odds on favorite to win that sectional, and everybody picked Hebron but me. I just picked Judson because of Cheesem. So, you know.
Congratulations on that pick.
Yeah. I mean, again, I had no, it wasn't based on anything other than the fact that I wanted Kent to win. Good job, Kent. Didn't carry me over into the regionals. We all picked 21st Century. So maybe I should never pick against Coach Cheesem ever again.
So North Judson for the semi-state. Spoiler.
He might want me to pick against. No, I picked him in the sectional, so that didn't count. Happy for Wabash, especially the Daughtry family. Matt and his kids. Although, you know, playing Blackhawk was just delayed a couple of weeks. But it's nice to see Wabash, what, their first regional since the 50s?
Sure. What that was? 55, I think I read.
And then the Fighting Shelskys at Park Heritage. This is their sixth year. This is their third semi-state in 6 years. Pretty good stuff. Canterbury's
looking. I don't think we touched on Dominique. What? Fort Wayne, Wayne, and North. Was that really close? Was it a 10-point game? Was it more than that? Did you happen to check any of it out?
I did check some of it out. North side got up early. It's like 8 or 10-2.
Uh-huh.
And then Chase Barnes had a really good game. Javon Lewis. I didn't watch the full game, but I think they just kind of got it going. I thought, you know, during the regular season, Wayne beat them. It was close all the way through three quarters, and then Wayne just took off in the fourth and beat them, I think, by 26. I knew that wasn't going to happen. I didn't think they'd beat them like that. But, you know, they won by 10. I think, you know, good win for Wayne, and I'll be seeing them at Elkhart here Saturday.
Okay.
As long as IU doesn't get to the semis of the Big Ten tournament, we're going to have to bribe Kyler to go to Newcastle to watch the 4A South.
That's going to be a good one.
It is. It's going to be – I'm going to be at Southport because I got a guy playing, so I want to watch Park Heritage play. Plus the South, the Southport Regional or Semi State Park, Tudor Park, Heritage, Forest
Yeah,
Park,
Brownstown.
All the parks. Parks and Rec. No.
Parks and Brownstown.
Parks and Browntown. I'm looking forward to that. I went to the 2A semi-state last year with Linton, Park Heritage, and Brownstown Central. That was fun. Going to go to it again this year. Park Tudor and Brownstown is going to be a banger of a game. It's
going to be a good one.
If anything can derail Brownstown, it might be just elite quickness, and Park Tudor's got the quickness.
It's Colby Hall. Did he play?
He did not. He did not. No, he had did a his ankle's fine. He'll be fine this week. His ankle right, was
Cole,
good enough.
Colby, get healthy. Come on, kid.
He was healthy enough to play from an ankle perspective. He had an infection on his foot. I don't think I'm violating any HIPAA laws there. He had an infection on his foot that is completely unrelated to his ankle. So he'll be fine. He'll be good to go. It's probably better off that he didn't play this week because now his ankle will be 1 week stronger. But Park Tudor Brownstown to open it up. That's going to be a good game.
Yeah, it is.
And if
the
Brownstown
Park Heritage and who? Sorry.
Horse Park.
Horse Park, okay.
We're going to get Patrick's view of them Wednesday night when we record our semi-state pick'ems and deep dives. Brownstown, if there was one area of weakness with Brownstown, especially when they play Carmel, they've only got two guys that are super comfortable handling the ball against pressure. And as much as Chase Coomer saved their bacon against Carmel in overtime, it was tough sledding as Heyman, then Benner both fouled out in that game. And when Jack found out, you could look at Coach Benner's face and he's looking like, now what? Like, they got nobody else like that comes off the bench and handles that duty. It just ends up being Chase. It just ends up being Coomer, just bringing it up and initiating the offense, then going through the other stuff that he goes through. He was successful, and Park Tudor's just that much quicker. I don't know that they're necessarily better than Carmel, but they definitely are quick.
I'll say this about Brownstown real quick. Jeffersonville is playing this weekend. Scottsburg's still playing. Mm-hmm. Brownstown beat both of those teams 15 to 20 points.
Yeah. And as healthy, I mean, Brownstown's the prohibitive 2A favorite. I don't think there's any way around it. But again, if it's one thing that can derail that, it's things you can't prepare for. And there's no way they can simulate Park Tudor's quickness. There's ways they can combat it. They certainly have the size to see over any type of press that Park Tudor might throw their way. But Park Tudor made life miserable at the North Central deal earlier this year. They've had their taste of big school basketball, and they are not going to be frightened at all of Brownstown. Dominique, what were you trying to say? I'm sorry, I wanted to get that Brownstown point out real quick.
That's good, because I was just going to say, I would, if I didn't have like family up in that area of Elkhart and going to the semi-state, I would be going back to Newcastle, I think, for that 4A South, but I am going to be going to Elkhart.
And Patrick's going to see some great games. Are you going to stay at Seymour no matter what, Patrick?
Yeah, I mean, okay. Scottsburg and Bossy is going to be
that's a good one,
an
yeah.
Amazing game. One of the best, not just because I know the teams, but on paper, that looks to be one of the better games in the entire state,
especially,
in my opinion.
Especially the way Bossy's been playing. So, well, we'll get more in the semi-states Wednesday night. We'll record that. That'll publish on Thursday. By the time people listen to this, it'll be late Sunday night or early Monday morning, depending on how they consume it. It was fun last week. People were texting and DMing me wanting to know where the regional pick'em was. Appreciate that interest. Since their teams won, some of the same teams will probably be, or same people will be messaging me this week as well. But any last thoughts of the regionals before we get away?
No, that's shout out to the guy that came over and said that he enjoyed our podcast and enjoys listening to it. So That's our one listener. I got to meet him, so.
Well, luckily we got more than one.
Okay, good.
Yeah, it's, I mean, we're float, we seem to be consistently in the 525 range, but I get, yeah, every week I get somebody that seems to say something.
Yeah, I've had that a couple times too.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, good job. Unless there's anything else, we're good to go. We'll talk to everybody next week. Or no, we'll talk to each other Wednesday. Dominique will, or Zach will be here. Kyler will probably be here. And we'll pick all the games, but we won't necessarily break down every game. But
Cool.
semi-state week's good because there's just so many variations that could happen. And shoot, we may even consider doing like a live Twitter live in between sessions.
Oh boy.
As long as nobody's in the Newcastle gym
That's right.
with their signal. Newcastle and Southport, we need to figure out ways for the cell signal to
Well,
be.
heck, it worked in the 1A game when it was
Nobody was
50%
there.
full.
Yeah.
Man.
All right, guys, good job. We'll talk Wednesday night. Everybody, thanks for listening.